Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase McCabe live today, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Our thanks to the Simmons Bank Open, Permian Energy, and Caudill Vet Clinic for helping us with our coverage for training camp. The team is on the field right now in different groups. Got the O-line down one way, the D-line down one way, receivers, DBs. I'm sitting here watching the kickers and the punters, which, you know, I'll be honest, that's important because I've been worried about kicker. So Ryan Stonehouse still kicking it to the moon with his big leg. But, I mean, the hang time that guy gets is unbelievable. But, you know, as he continues to work on his aim, his control, I still think the Titans have found their punter for the next several years now. Can Caleb Shudak get the job as the kicker for the next several years, or is it Trey Wolf? And what's interesting is, you know, watching these guys, as Shudak is kind of a short guy, and Wolf is long and lanky. So two different sizes there for the kicker, but we'll see how that battle shakes out. One thing we do know is we like the battle at wide receiver because of DeAndre Hopkins, adding him to the fray. But I continue to be excited about Treylon Burks. And Treylon Burks was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace on Friday. A fantastic interview. If you missed it, just go to thegamenashville.com. I always am intrigued when a young receiver sits down with Derek because you can just tell that there's that respect there. And, you know, they try and take something away from it. It's not just us, you know, taking something away from it. It's on them as well. But Burks talked about the biggest difference for him going from year one to year two.
Caleb Burks looks huge. I just don't know if I just don't remember you being this big. Maybe I need to, you know, reacclimate myself back to practice. What have you been doing in the offseason? You look much bigger, much stronger, much more confident this year.
I would just say taking care of my body, eating healthier. Being here at the facility is the main thing, you know. I mean, you can go all the way out to Miami or wherever, but doing the workouts here that we're going to do in the off season and just getting ahead on it just makes a big difference, and also just gets my body prepared for it. So,
do you feel more confident this year?
100%.
From what?
For everything. I just say, I mean, there's no stress on anything. Learning, playing, just wherever they put me is where I'm gonna play.
Now, Treylon, first I want to say congratulations. You got married this summer.
Yes, sir. Congratulations.
Oh, congratulations.
To you. And then also, you spoke briefly to Caroline, the things that, you know, how you feel much better the second year. And that's the part that a lot of people don't understand.
Right.
Take us a little bit through your first year, because that first year is a blur for you.
Right.
You just finished up with a college season. You're getting yourself prepared for the combine. Then you're getting yourself prepared for all of these, you know, visits to different teams. So
right.
You never really got a chance to really work out the way you wanted
right.
to. So just take us through that whole process.
I was just saying, man, it started off with ending the season in college. Mm-hmm. And then, like, right after I ended the season, I didn't play in the bowl game. So I went straight into combine training. And, you know, it's different from being in combine training shape and then also football shape. You know, when I was at the Exos in Texas, you know, we was just working on 40s, making sure that I had my body right, eating healthier. And then, you know, I got to the combine, did the combine, and then after the combine, it was full-on visits. Mm-hmm. And I had almost, like, 35, almost every team in the league I went to visit. So I never got to train. You know, the only thing I got to do was just run on a treadmill, like in the hotels. So, and that's not really going to help you. I mean, it'll keep your wind up. But for the most part, getting out here running on the field. And so I would say when I got here, I was not in football shape. Mentally, I was not in. I was not mentally prepared for it. Just coming in from being in the offense to where, you know, I'm getting the signal from the sideline. I'm not in the huddle. And then coming to an offense where I'm in the huddle, going through learning the full concept, you know, instead of just reading the signals from, you know, my OC's hand. And so, you know, it took a toll. But I would just say closer to the end of the season, you know, I start progressing, understanding, you know, what I needed to do to fix those things. And then it just made me want to do more come the next offseason. So I did that, and, you know, here I am.
It was Treylon Burks Friday. I'm Caroline Willie and D-Mace. The biggest difference in year one and year two. And I'll say this. I've watched him because, I mean, there are guys you come in here when you get the opportunity to watch practice, and you're going to key in towards some guys. Treylon was one of them. I've watched him. Now I've heard him. I've seen him interact with Ryan Tannehill. I've seen him interact with Rob Moore, with Tim Kelly, with DeAndre Hopkins. I see a different guy. I see confidence. I hear confidence. I hear an NFL receiver that can play at a top level. And that gets me really excited because they need that. I mean, everybody's talking about D-Hop, and rightfully so. They should. He's right now, I mean, borderline Hall of Fame receiver, probably going to be a Hall of Fame receiver. And so that's a big addition. But Treylon Burks, you just kind of get that silent assassin mentality from him of like, okay, all right, yeah, create a little competition in-house, watch what I can do. You're about to see it. I mean, he talked more in the interview about the concussion and just the frustration of being hurt last year and missing some time. I get all that. Now I think he's going to use that as motivation moving forward, and that's going to help him this season. So, ultimately, I think that helps the wide receiver room that you have the top two guys, and then that's just going to create, you know, hunger behind them with Kyle Phillips, with Racy McMath, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Chris Moore. You know, Mike Vrabel talked about Chris Moore the other day and saying that he wished he had him a few years ago, that he loves what he's brought to the room. That's good. The competition within is going to make this receiver room maybe a little bit better than – people thought that they were going to be. And then I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins has been here a week and is already looking like, you know, the veteran that he is, but looking like somebody that has been involved with the Titans for a lot longer. He talked on Saturday about the communication and timing process now that he's had with his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
And Ryan have wasted no time trying to get on the same page with each other. How is that communication and that timing process going so far?
You know, it's what I would say is our third day of throwing. So, obviously, there's things we need to work on. We've clicked a lot more than we haven't, so that's good as well.
Music to my ears. That's what I want to hear. And that right there, when people ask about, okay, what is Ryan Tannehill, the fact that it's worked for him, that he's getting on the same page quicker with a guy like Hopkins, says just as much about him as it does about Hopkins and what he brings. I think it's huge that they're getting on the same page as early as they are. And even though it's 3 day, and I love the fact, too, that Hop is not getting too high, not getting too low. It's one of my favorite sayings. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. It's 3 days. But I think you're seeing it already. You're seeing that those two have just gotten together, and it looks like they played together for a while, and they're speaking the same language. And then at the same time, Treylon Burks is learning from that and picking up on things too. I mentioned the conversations that Burks and Hopkins have been having, and that, you know, I love seeing that. Burks, in the interview on Friday with Caroline Willie and D-Mace, talked about D-Hop's influence on him.
Good for you. You made the right decision for yourself. Take care of your people.
Right.
Treylon Burks is with us. What does D-Hop bring to the wide receiver room?
Confidence. Really everything. He just shows you, like, just be yourself. That's the main thing. Being yourself, just going out and having fun. And it shows, you know, him going up, making plays, and, you know, coming back, doing it again. It just shows that he's just having fun doing what he loves to do. And just saying that just makes you want all to do the same. So.
In media, we call this talking season. It's just.
That was Treylon Burks during Caroline Willie and D-Mace on Friday. But that influence is certainly paying off already. You can tell. You can hear it. I mean, you can see it more than you can hear it. And that's why one of the many reasons why I wanted the Titans to make that signing, and I think as time goes along, you're going to see it even more. Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on what we're talking about, whether it's Treylon Burks or D-Hop or the defense with Jeffrey Simmons, you can do that on our phone or our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam is on the line from Portland. What's up?
Hey, Chase. Hey, I got a few things, man. Number one, I think the Jeffrey Simmons interview, I've been so bored. So it just gets me so fired up to think, like, yeah, that dude's ready. Like, he's going to – I don't think there's a more important player in the AFC South. Honestly, I think he is the most important player to this football team. I think he's the most important player in the division. I know people love – they like to just stay all over Trevor Lawrence. I'm not sold like that. I need to see a rinse and repeat before I buy into that guy. But I think he's fantastic. I think that interview from Friday with Treylon Burks was awesome. I think people need to keep this in mind, Chase, that, and I'm not saying give him a job, but Malik Willis went through the exact same thing that Treylon Burks just went through. He's a rookie. He had a lot of expectations. The season did not go the way he wanted to, and he looks better the second year. So maybe it's not coincidence that people are saying Malik looks a little bit better too. But I just thought it was a great interview, and I'm excited to see that wide receiver group.
Yeah, I am too. Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. And to his point on Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is the most important player on the Titans. I mean, no offense to anybody else, but he has taken that title away from Derrick Henry. And I think everybody knows that because the defense is going to have to carry the water, to especially early in the year. Now, if the offense can get clicking and we can see them do more under Tim Kelly than they did under Todd Downing, then maybe that narrative changes. But right now, the defense is carrying the water for this team. Coming up next, watching some of the battles between the wide receivers and the DBs, what do we make about that? And Christian Fulton, where are we at on him right now? We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Coach Mike, how do you evaluate these one-on-one drills with the DBs and receivers out here? How do you evaluate that? What specific area?
Well, I mean, I think obviously trying to be as tight in coverage as you can. You know, we play some off, we play some press, and you know, the route craft, are we able to you know, set up routes and be able to stem and make sure that there's, you know, good releases versus press, and, you know, then contested throws, contested catches. You know, like to stay up, but also making sure guys aren't grabbing, you know, when guys are breaking. Sometimes, you know, you tell the guy, hey, play outside leverage. You know, they run an inward breaking route with which would be a linebacker in there, and everybody's hooting and hollering. It's like, probably not going to throw it, but great. So I think it's just a good way to get a lot of reps in a short amount of time that we wouldn't get probably in 7-on-7.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the battles, the one-on-one battles between the wide receivers and the DBs, and there's some going on the far field right now. And generally when I hear hollering and see jumping around, that usually means the defense made a big play. And I think that is what took place. But this is probably my favorite part, because I think if you're breaking things down between, you know, important positions, obviously the wide receiver and getting production out of that, it's going to be the DBs, because if there's a weak point on the defense right now, it's the secondary. And I think a lot of that starts with Christian Fulton. Christian Fulton actually going to join Caroline Willie and D-Mace after practice today. So really looking forward to hearing that conversation. because he's going into a contract year. And he's, quite frankly, got to show more, I think, if he wants to stay on this team. He's never played a full season. He's battled injuries. And so you certainly got to see more out of him in the coming weeks and in training camp and in the season than we've seen, you know, in the past. And so the hope is he's going to be a productive corner for this team and step up and help make this secondary even better. But Roger McCreary in his second year, what can he bring? They've added Sean Murphy Bunting. They signed him as a free agent. He's a 5-year veteran. I know everything on him has been pretty good to this point, because he's going to have to certainly add some production for the secondary. And then, you know, looking at the safeties, that is, I mean, been the, I guess, one of the higher points for them with Kevin Byard. But, you know, can Amani Hooker stay healthy? He's somebody that's battled injuries. And so when you look at these one-on-one battles, I mean, it's kind of ironic that it's like, okay, there's some guys that stand out to you and there's some guys that you have faith in, but then there's question marks. And a lot of teams can say that, but, you know, with cornerback or the secondary and wide receivers, that's where the Titans are right now, and certainly want to see more in that situation. I mentioned Christian Fulton. Mike Vrabel was asked about his cornerback on Saturday.
Camp.
It looked like Fulton had a pretty solid day today. What do you think about what he was able to put off?
Again, just trying to stay consistent and, you know, be good in the multiple coverages that we're asking him to play. And, you know, again, just his physical demeanor. He just, you know, and again, there were times last year early on just from his rehab and things that he was going through. He just looks physically, he looks better. Physically, he looked, I saw him this morning at breakfast. I said, you know, we at your weight, you know, we're monitoring that. And those are things, you know, we have guys that have different problems than the head coach. They have trouble, you know, keeping weight on. And so, you know, we monitor that and making sure that after these hot days that they're eating, and Lauren and Frank and Todd are on top of that. So, you know, that's part of, you know, I think Christian just his overall strength and his size, that he can be 195 pounds and still be, you know, athletic and still be able to run and transition. So, you know, so far so good.
That was Mike Vrabel and Christian Fulton. And, you know, I find that interesting that physically, you know, he's looking better, according to Mike Vrabel. And, you know, I wish I had that problem. Like, I think Vrabel was kind of insinuating, too, that, you know, he keeps weight on. He wants Christian to be able to do that. But I so I can relate. But I think if Fulton is looking better physically, he's got to be feeling better physically, and that is going to certainly help his situation this year, because there just has to be more. And you know, at times, I don't think it's ability. I think it's been his body getting in the way. And, you know, Vrabel mentioned last year the soft tissue injuries and being a repeat offender on that and, you know, working through that. You can tell by looking at Fulton that, you know, he's put in the extra work to try and get to a better place physically, and that's ultimately going to help him stay on the field and perform on the field. So he's a key part of this secondary, and, you know, not a guy that's going to get a ton of interceptions. He's got 4 in his career. He only had 1 last year, but you know, I want to see him breaking up passes. I want to see him, you know, getting tackles. He had 48 combo tackles, 35 solo tackles. That was up career high for him last year, but there's more. There's got to be more, because you're hoping that you're going to get more games out of him. And, you know, I also wonder what Roger McCreary in his second year, you know, we talk about competition from within. I think that Roger McCreary continues to add that. Elijah Molden, now Elijah's played, we've seen in the past, he's played a little corner, a little safety, can certainly be versatile there. Shaheem Carter has been brought in, you know, as a guy that can certainly, you know, add to the competition. They just need depth when it comes to corner in the secondary. And so I'm curious, are they going to carry 5 or 6 special teams? How does that factor in? But ultimately for me, and I love that Chris Jackson, you know, is in the fray as well, because I think Chris Jackson is a versatile player that has done some nice things for them in the past. And that's what they need. They need versatility and they need depth when it comes to the secondary. Because if they can do that, and you see this competition, you know, with them, with the receivers, when they get into the joint practices with the Vikings and the Patriots, again, that's when you're going to be able to learn a little bit more about both of these groups that we're talking about, and how they're going to be able to perform. But it's early in the process. You have to trust the process, whatever cliche you want to use, and I think that's kind of where they're at right now. 615-737-1025. Kind of your take on Christian Fulton and this year for him. I'd be curious of what everybody thinks about that, because as I've said, I got to see more before, you know. And I didn't like the fact that he was here but he wasn't out there much during OTAs and minicamp. He's been out here during training camp, which is certainly good to see, but you know, I want to see more out of Christian Fulton for the Titans. What do you think? 615-737-1025. As practice is ongoing right now, and I'm kind of reading through Twitter or X, and things getting a little bit chippy out there as the pads are on, and that's what you want to see. I mean, I don't think Mike Vrabel wants to see full-on fisticuffs, but he likes seeing guys get after it. You know, he was a high-intensity player when he played. You know, you want to see some of that. It's hot. It's not as hot as it has been, which is nice, but you want to see a little bit of chippiness because that's competition, and that shows you that both sides are getting after it, you know, on a Monday at training camp. And so whether it's competition from the quarterbacks, competition from the receivers, the DBs, the linebackers, what have you, if it gets a little chippy, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton here in a few minutes from OutKick, get his thoughts on the first week of training camp and some observations that he has had. I mean, I'll definitely ask him about Christian Fulton and kind of what's next for him as he will join us. But right now, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, hard to believe that it is this week. It is this weekend in our city. I was out and about. They got the catch fences up. Going to be closing roads later this week for the track. You can tune in for driver interviews. We'll have a few drivers on with us this week leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. That's all presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, and one huge weekend event. Go to MusicCityGP.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event this Friday through Sunday. Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton from OutKick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. We'll do that next. Here, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe Show rolls on live today. Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Our coverage presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Permanent Energy, and Caudill Vet Clinic here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Watching practice from afar. They're on the far field, but kind of keeping up with some things. Ryan Tannehill, they're doing 7-on-7s in the red zone right now. TD putting out there. Tannehill opened up with 3 straight completions, starting with Treylon Burks across the middle. Then Sean Murphy bunting picked him off. I guess that was the big scream that we heard. Paul Kaharski said Levis had 3 very good touchdown throws in a row to the middle of the end zone in red zone 7-on-7. It's 3 versus 3. So those drills ongoing right now. We say hello to Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. What's up, Hut? How are you?
Good morning, Chase. Hope things are well out at practice. Mondays are my my meetings morning, so I'm not out there today, but can't wait to get back out there after what was a fun weekend.
Yeah, and I want to start with a guy in particular, in Christian Fulton, and just the expectations for him this year, because I feel like there's a lot more that we need to see out of Fulton. He's never played a full season in his career. He's dealt with injuries. Mike Vrabel's talked about that. He's talked about that. Vrabel said on Saturday he thought he had a good day and he was impressed with how he's looking physically. But when you look at Christian Fulton, what else do you need to see out of him?
Well, just consistency. And you're right about the physicality. He looks different, right? Like the never played a full season. That's the next big step. Some things are out of his control, out of a player's control when it comes to injury. Other things are not. And the soft tissue aspect, I think, you know, there was a little bit of beneath the surface of what he wanted to see in terms of a contract this offseason. And it looks like, you know, he's come in, he's put weight on, good weight. You know, Vrabel hinted at it's tough for him to keep weight on in some cases, where they're hounding him about that in breakfast because they're it's hot. They're losing quite a bit of weight. They want him to have that to carry it more during the season. He looks physically better, and even in the practices without the pads, and what I saw, for instance, on Saturday, there is a physical tone to him that we just have not seen to that level on a play-to-play basis. And with the pads on, I can't wait to see the assessment of what those who are out there are saying about it today, because he's had a very, very nice start. He's right where he needs to be. Now it's just about climbing the ladder. And, you know, for the longest time, I don't think he doesn't have many interceptions. Those picks for a corner now are going to come off of tip passes. They're going to come off of pressure from the defensive line. They're going to come off of one guy getting a hand on the football on a pass deflection and another guy being in the right place at the right time. It's coming off a film study. And then it's just a grind. It is a play-to-play battle. And the guy I think of is Malcolm Butler. He's a battler. And he gets burned one play. He gives up a pass right down in distance. Next play, he's in there like a boxer fighting yet again. They want Fulton to be that guy, that nuisance. And I like so far how he's approached all this in contract year.
Yeah, I do too. Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. And when I look at somebody like Fulton, the fact that you now have DeAndre Hopkins on the other side as a wide receiver, how much is that going to help him as he's going against one of the top-tier receivers every day in practice, and how that can translate to the games that they're going to play this year?
It's going to help him a ton as long as he has the same approach day-to-day, right? Like, it's no different than this interior offensive line going against Jeffrey Simmons on a day-to-day basis. If Landry and Arden Key and Weaver continue their progression, either coming back to the field or their progression in this defense and Key's standpoint, that should help the edges as well in this offense. Point being, you can practice against whoever you want to practice against. The mentality, the mindset, and that the professionalism has to be there from the other end as well. And those two things can meet up. Fulton is extremely talented. First and foremost, he has to do the right things right now in the training room as much as anything else to just ensure that he stays on the field as much as possible. This is the grind, the hurry up and wait type deal where we get all pumped up for the NFL regular season, and we'll see the first preseason game where the starters barely play, if at all. And then there's this slowdown effect where you're like, man, just hurry up and get the season here. Meanwhile, those guys are still practicing every day. Fulton's just got to make sure that he's available to practice every day against Hopkins whenever he's practicing right now. And right now, Hopkins has been everything and then some for what they signed and who they hoped he would be.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jonathan. He has fit the part. Some of the catches he's made on the sidelines, I mean, you just get excited for that. But
Like old Hopkins. It looks like the vintage DeAndre Hopkins that we've seen flashes of this the last 2 years. But, again, he's either been hurt or he's been suspended, so he hasn't seen that full season. And Chase, when he has seen the full season, he's seen the end zone quite a bit. So if he's this type player, the Titans are in great shape in terms of their number one and number two, because Hopkins has looked like a number one guy through the first weekend of camp.
Treylon Burks sat down with our midday show on Friday, and Caroline made the comment that, you know, she looked at him and just forgot how big he was. And he almost looks bigger. He looks leaner. Like, he looks the part of being a wide receiver in the NFL. And, you know, Derek kind of asked him what the biggest difference in last offseason and this offseason, and he noted, you know, he was training for the combine last year and not doing that this year. The point is, he seems much more confident. He looks confident on the field and looks like he's ready to grab the reins and compete with DeAndre Hopkins to be the number one receiver on this team. How dangerous do you think he can be for the Titans offense?
Oh, he can be everything and then some from what we saw at Arkansas. The biggest difference that I see is just the first full off season for an NFL rookie going into year number two. You know, last off season, it talks of asthma and out of shape and train for the combine and then let up, you know, train for the combine for exactly what he was going to excel out and then let up. But that did not happen this off season. And that's just evident based on how he looks and how he's played and his attention to detail. That's the professional aspect that you hope to see in every player. And some get it, some don't. But the biggest jump, and it's a cliche thrown around, but it's also true. From year one to year two, that can be the biggest jump in a player's career. And this is the sign that Burks is trying to do everything necessary to put himself in that position. Because also keep in mind, like, the off season for him, the entire off season, he's thinking he's the number one guy and the pressure's on him to be the passing down option. It was him and role players. He could not just be a role player. He can't do that now either, but now he has a chance to be a number one because he has Hopkins there and he can blossom into that type of player over a gradual pace instead of just thrown into the fire and just said, hey, if you're it. You're not a number one yet, but you're our number one. Have at it. Now, as long as, you know, things go the way they look right now, and they never do, right? There's going to be bumps along the way. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be issues. But look, Chase, if they protect the quarterback, they have now given themselves a chance to not just be a one-dimensional offense. And I think the mentality of Burks has been, I'm going to be the number one. I'm going to treat myself like a number one option. And I don't think he did that going from Arkansas into the league. Now I think he has done that. And he knows his role. He knows the style of wide receiver that the Titans want him. He knows the plan and the staircase effect to what they hope he becomes within this offense. And I think he sees the path through Tim Kelly and Ryan Tannehill. There are a lot of things to be comfortable about with Burks and what we've seen so far. And I think number one is just his off season didn't have any drama, didn't come with any bumps on the road. And it didn't come with any excuses. It was just hard work behind the scenes, and he showed up to practices, OTAs, minicamp, and now camp, ready to go on the field. That's huge.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5, 94.9 The Fan. So you mentioned if the quarterback can stay upright, so if Ryan Tannehill can get the protection, huge issue. So let's just say that this offensive line is not the best in the league, but serviceable, and he's got time to get the ball out. Well, he's got Hopkins, he's got Burks, he's got Okonkwo. Obviously, he has Henry in the backfield. In some ways, I look at that and go, okay, you're taking pressure off of Ryan Tannehill. But in other ways, I look at it as you're putting even more pressure on Ryan Tannehill because you've given him the weapons, and now he has to know how to use them. What's your trust level in Tannehill that he can use those weapons?
I'm totally fine with Tannehill when he has time. Tannehill... Here's what I think of Ryan Tannehill. I don't look at Ryan Tannehill as a guy who, when given time and options, he's going to lose the game. The majority of what I've seen from him here has been the opposite. Now, there have been massive moments where he has made a bad play that affected a game in a massive way. That's just the quarterback position. But last year, with the musical chairs on the offensive line, and with the hits that he took and the fact that he kept trying to play as much as possible until the very end of the season where it was just – it was a lost cause for what he was going through. I have mad respect for him and what I saw last year from him. And Chase, here's the thing. The musical chairs aspect is maybe the biggest difference of what I've seen in this camp without pads on the offensive line. This staff, even with, you know, Robinson and now with Rand, Carson, and it all funnels through Vrabel here, with the rookies that have been in recently, it's been, well, we're going to work these guys at a lot of positions. We haven't determined where he is yet. We're not calling him a right tackle. We're not calling him a left guard. That's what they've done with Skoronski. Skoronski is their left guard. And they went ahead and said that. And I think that's indicative of Ben Jones is not the anchor anymore. He's not there. That center guard triangle that is so crucial to all the protections, they are trying to link up those three in continuity and consistency on a day-to-day basis. They've got the rotating right tackle issue right now. They're looking for someone to grab that job whenever the joint practices and the preseason games roll around. But they're trying to have their five. And I think it's been a while since they started a camp and said, here's the plan, without saying here's the plan. Because you can see who's rotating at different spots for the starters over the last few years and where the rookies are playing. You know, anyone from Raidens to now Skoronski, and you can go back a ways too. My point is they are telling us here's who we want on the field, and we're trying to figure out right tackle because Petit Frere, who, by the way, came in looking great. He really came into camp ready to go. And it's just unfortunate based on the rule where he's not betting on the NFL, but he's popped for six games, and they're trying to scramble a bit. Every team's going to have to go through this at some point based on that rule and how it's written and enforced. It's right tackle that they're trying to figure out and nothing more right now based on the health of the league. Health of the line. And Chase, one final thought on that. If they're just okay up front, they have to just be healthy up front. And I think they'll be okay. It's when they go a little deeper on this line, like they're already doing currently at right tackle, that's where you have a lot of concern because Ben Jones, with the communication and the how vocal he was on the field and on the sideline, on the bench, and just how he knew every player's role. Every center has to do that. Every player knew that role. Every player knew they could go to him to find out what they're doing, how to block this assignment, the audible at the line, things like that. That is so big for what they want to do up front with the run game first, and then everything plays off of that. And that's going to help Tannehill tremendously if they can get that going, because he and Hopkins and Burks already have a nice rapport. Hopkins is already adjusting to certain blitz patterns and schemes that he's seen, and they're coming away with completions and moving the chains. They did not have that last year, but what they also didn't have last year was pass protection, and we just don't know about that line until the pads start popping.
Real quick, I just want to get your thoughts on this Jonathan Taylor situation with the back and forth between the agent and Jim Irsay. Now he's reportedly asked for a trade. How big is this for the division, and ultimately what do you see happening?
Well, it's big. It's big for the Colts from the mentality of what they preach internally. Big for the division, I'm not sure, because I don't know about Richardson in his rookie year yet. Just the tenor and tone of the locker room is going to be interesting. But Taylor's going to have to play. I mean, he's going to get fined $40,000 or $50,000 based on his tenure in the league per day of every practice he misses, Chase. Or they're going to put him on this non-football injury, and he's not going to get paid either way because it's something that happened off the field with his contract, and he's saying it's not the case. The running backs, I agree with their overall point at the very top of the pay scale. But the problem is the vast majority of the position is making far less than that, and they're looking for an opportunity they would beg to get the franchise tag. They would beg to go into a year where they have an opportunity to get a second contract elsewhere. And that's the problem. Like, it's only for a very small group of players at the position at the very top that are bickering over top money. And I understand what they're saying. They're very hard to replace, but the rest of the guys are playing anyway. Tony Pollard is happy to play on the $10 million tag because he's coming off a contract where he made $3 million total off of his contract, and now he's tagged for 10. Meanwhile, Saquon's making 20 plus over his contract, and he's getting tagged for 10. I understand what Barkley did. Barkley signed anyway for $11 million, and it's just the wrong timing to use this type of come together and let's band together, because the season's here, and guys don't want to get fined, and they do want that weekly game check. They're going to play, and the Zoom call well after the fact of any deadlines that were there for the contract extension did no good, and now so does the chatter. The chatter does no good right now because the season's here, And if you want to play, we'll see you at camp on Monday morning. If not, we'll put you on the non-football injury list. It's just the wrong way to go about it. And it goes back to my overriding point. Like, the NFLPA negotiated this, and the timing of it is just all very confusing. It's just not a very well-run union in terms of how all that goes.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens. Hutt, appreciate it as always, my friend, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Stay as cool as possible. I know it's very difficult to do even in the shade, Chase, and always enjoy this, and hopefully next week or so I'll be out there with you.
Looking forward to it. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is the show 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. You can go check them out. Coming next, we'll put a bow on things from training camp, and I'll give a few more thoughts on Jonathan Taylor. Will he get traded, or will they ultimately get this worked out in Indianapolis? We'll discuss that next. But right now, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see All-American Rejects at Municipal Auditorium on August 25th. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see All-American Rejects at Municipal Auditorium on August 25th here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, it was a dramatic scene last night. I was at Colts practice. There was, you know, thousands of fans there. It was about to end. I got word that the meeting with Jim Irsay on his bus and Jonathan Taylor, star running back, was over. I knew that on that bus, the discussion was going to be the trade request that Jonathan Taylor actually put in a couple days before, presented it to Irsay, wanted to get a direct answer. So I was about ready to report what I ended up reporting, which was that star running back Jonathan Taylor requested a trade. And Jim Irsay was talking to reporters about 20 feet to my right, waited for that to end, then reported the story, and then saw all the reaction with Irsay then talking to Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated saying he did not plan to trade Jonathan Taylor. So that is where this all stands. So much discussion in the last couple weeks about the running back position. Jonathan Taylor wants a new contract commensurate with his abilities. The Colts, in a little bit of transition here, have not made an offer to him for a new contract. He then asked to be traded. They have then said they do not want to trade him. It is a standoff. It's a stalemate. I don't know which way it's going to go, but this is a relationship that is not in a very good place concerning the Colts and maybe their best player.
That was Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, discussing the Jonathan Taylor situation. And I feel like, you know, you have a player wanting a new contract with a normal team, and then you have a player wanting a new contract with a Jim Irsay-owned team, and it just adds to the intrigue. I mean, Irsay quoted in The Athletic saying, "If I die tonight and Jonathan Taylor is out of the league, no one's going to miss us. The league goes on. We know that. The National Football League rolls on. It doesn't matter who comes and who goes, and it's a privilege to be a part of it." But then you got the back and forth between Irsay and the agent over the whole situation. And, you know, as Hutton was just saying, unfortunately, I don't think Taylor has a lot of leverage. And he's going to get fined for any time he misses. And then there's this thing that if he has back pain, they can put him on the NFI list, and they don't have to pay him at all. And it's a crappy situation for him, but at the same time, that's just kind of where we're at when it comes to not only running backs, but just the leverage that the owners have over the players at this point. He does deserve a new contract. He's outplayed his rookie deal, you know, but at the same time, there's a process you have to go through, and if the Colts are in this transition, you know, like Rappaport said, which they are, whether you want to call it a rebuild, a transition, you know, what is Anthony Richardson going to be in his rookie year? Is he going to be the starter in his rookie year? Taylor, unfortunately, I think is going to have to show up and just do his thing and then hope for the best in the offseason. But now, I thought Hutton made a good point, too, that while I understand the running backs and their position and wanting to be valued more, you know, doing this whole thing right now, the timing's off. I mean, training camp's begun. You're kind of got what you got at this point. And so I'd love to see it change for them. I think a lot of that is going to come from negotiations with the CBA, and they're going to need better leadership from that standpoint and be able to fight for themselves, and that's how they're going to get that. But right now, ultimately, the market is dictating what this is. practice seems to be, I mean, I guess still going. I just saw they were doing the special teams period. Kind of looking at Twitter, it's hard for me to see today because they're on the far field, kind of hard to, for me to see what's going on. I had the kickers and punters out in front of me throughout practice, so I was kind of watching some of that. But I know in team period, it was kind of a mixed bag of defense making some good plays, offense making some good plays. We saw in 7-on-7 that there was the Tannehill threw an interception to Sean Murphy Bunting. You know, Murphy Bunting is someone that I'm kind of curious of what he adds to the secondary. Pulling up kind of the report here on kicker, Teron Davenport said Caleb Shudak was good from 42, 39, and 45. He missed from 38, was wide right. So take that for what you will as I continue to sit here and worry about kicker. But, you know, what's hilarious, too, is watching Shudak and Trey Wolf, you know, trade kicks back and forth here on the field that's in front of us. Trey Wolf is very, very tall, and Shudak is not. So it's like Andre the Giant and Rey Mysterio Jr., to use the wrestling reference when watching those two. But the kicking battle will certainly continue. Christian Fulton, somebody we talked about quite a bit today, is going to join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up in just a few minutes from training camp whenever practice wraps up, which should be, you know, shortly. But I'm curious to hear what Fulton has to say. Is Mike Vrabel said on Saturday he likes how he's looking physically. It's all about consistency when it comes to Christian Fulton and where he can take the next step in his career. He's been inconsistent. That's the best way to put it. Health has had a lot to do with that. But, you know, he's going to be somebody that they're going to be looking at to make some plays in the secondary, because the secondary, as we talked about earlier, if you're trying to find a weak point on this defense, on this team, that's one of them. Offensive line continues to be the number one question mark, but the defensive backs certainly have to do more when it comes to this Titans team. That is going to do it for us today at Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, and our thanks to Simmons Bank Open, Permanent Energy, and Cottle Vet Clinic. But do not go anywhere. Caroline is right here, raring to go. Willie Donick alongside. D-Mace will have the day off, actually. Christian Fulton scheduled to join them soon here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big now.